You know what I have found out? I think you do this on purpose. And so that's why I have to spread it way out there to keep you in obedience. And that's pretty amazing to me. I'd like to ask you just to look in your bulletin for a moment at something. I appreciate the bulletin and Sharon and all of her work she does. I'd like you to look on the right side where it says prayer requests for healing. We have some pretty serious requests that are there. And I pray that you'll take this home and you'll keep it on your table or counter or put it on your refrigerator, do something. Or if you've got your prayer closet, take it with you into your prayer closet and pray for these. These names are all individuals that we certainly need to keep praying for. And even though Juanita's here, she needs her full health to return. But these are six individuals that are brothers, sisters to us, that really need the prayer of the body. So would you commit to that? Yeah. Excuse me, I'm not on. Would you commit to that? Yeah. That's what I thought you'd say. All right. I'd like to read this before we go to the scripture. You don't have to turn there. Psalms 122, 6 through 9. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say peace within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. As servants of God, we also love the very stones and dust of Zion. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor in her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth, your glory. It's interesting that God does two things. He says this. He says that the Jewish people doesn't, he's referring to the Jewish people in a corporate sense, and he says, they are mine. When God chose a nation to represent him on earth that he could work through, for some reason, he didn't choose the mighty or the largest. He chose probably at that time the smallest, and he chose Israel. And then he comes along and he says, I have placed my name in Jerusalem. I don't know if you realize what that really means, but that means that the entire city of Jerusalem, from all 12 gates throughout that city, God says, I have placed my name there. I think it's a very dangerous thing to have adversity or mindset against the Jewish people or even against Jerusalem. I just want to tell you, it's a small commercial, but it's important to tell you this. This week, maybe for the first time, I was listening and watching and paying attention. And it is amazing to me, the anti-Semitism that is in America. It's shocking to me of the hearts that have come to a place to be very critical, full of guile and full, I think, of just a resentment to the nation of Israel. And I began to listen to what they say. And it's not just the anger that is really a kind of forthright and right in our face. But what it really is, it's the lie and this, it's the deception. And church, I'm just going to tell you right now, you really need to read your Bible so you understand how to overcome deception. And you need to spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit in your personal closets of prayer so that you understand deception. You might say, nothing will deceive me. I like Israel. Oh, really? You have no idea sometimes, folks, what the enemy is doing to God's people. And I'm challenging you to understand that it's the Lord who loves, and the generations. He loves Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those that he has chosen to represent his name upon the earth. You and I, for the most part, are Gentiles, and we represent him as another limb upon the bough of his tree. But it's important that you recognize there is a lot of wickedness against the nation of Israel today. So guard yourself and guard your families and be willing even to turn things off when you hear these people that kind of huff and puff and want to blow the house down. You know what I'm talking about? And they're just full of such anti-Semitism. And I'm not Jewish by birth. I'm only a Jewish lover. I care. And why not? My Savior was Jewish. Did you know that? And have you ever read how many books of the Bible, old and new, were written by Jewish brothers? And I challenge you this morning to, as the church, you know what? Let's not get caught up in kind of the talking faces and the talking voices and everybody that's got all this idea. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And love what he loves. He loves the Jewish people. Are they perfect? No. But he still loves the Jewish people. And he placed his name in Jerusalem. And I think it's a fearful thing to be anti-Semites against these things. So I pray that in these coming days that you will really, you'll be paying attention. I have no idea of how much we'll see in the coming days about these kind of things still. But you know, the church, we know, and we cannot be deceived. Amen? Is that all right with you? When you're a pastor, you can say whatever you want to say. Oh, I was waiting for people to leave. No, I'm just teasing you. God bless you. So now when you wouldn't sit down a while ago, I told you to turn to 2 Kings. You remember what chapter? How'd you know that? That's amazing. Chapter 6 of 2 Kings this morning, please. I'd like to minister. This message has kind of been a message that has been in something I've been putting together. It's been a process. It's not been something where it's just like, bang, I do it alone. I feel like God has given me a process in this, and so that's why I'd like to share it with you this morning. I don't know. I'm sure some of you have heard this, and you're going to say, oh, I know that. That I've heard that before. But I'd like to tell you anyway. You've no doubt heard the story about two hunters that went to the forest. They were surprised by a huge grizzly bear. Were you with them? Good thing. They immediately took off running, and the bear in hot pursuit. The slower of the two men yelled out, Hey, well, please know something. We can't outrun this bear, he yelled to his friend in front. And the man that was in front, in the lead, he turned back with his shoulder and he says, I know, but I don't have to worry. All I've got to do is outrun you. So I thought about that. It's an old joke, and it makes me laugh every time I read it. And it's probably the perfect part of it helps me to introduce what I want to say to you this morning. So if you'd like to write this down on the back of your bulletin or somewhere, 5 words, God desires that we trouble him. 6 words. God desires that we trouble him. I don't know. You might think, I don't know about what this pastor is saying. Troubling God. I think God does appreciate that we trouble him. I think he would rather that we come to him and seek his face and believe that by faith he has spoken than for us to not do it at all. And we wring our hands and we're full of consternation and we're constantly trying to figure out how does this thing really work? And our lives just go on and on and on in a tumbler. So I'm going to say that the title for these few words to you this morning is that God desires that we trouble him. And I truly believe that that's true. One day a group of prophets came to Elisha and they told Elisha, quote, as you can see, this place that we are meeting in, it's way too small for us. Let's go let's go down to the Jordan where there are plenty of logs and we can take and build us a new meeting place. All right, he told them, go ahead. Please come with us, they said, and they suggested. And the prophet said, I will, I'll come. And when they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting trees. Now, they didn't have any still or McCullough or and didn't have anything like that. They just had, you know what I'm talking about? Two hands on the end of the handle and a head on the axe. How many know what I mean? When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting the trees. But as one of them was chopping, the axe head fell into the river. Oh, my Lord, he cried. It was borrowed. A borrowed axe. And the man of God said to them, where did it fall? And he showed him, he says, I think it was like right about over there. I'd like to stop that reading because that wasn't King James. Are you in 2 Kings 6? Let me read you from the Bible. If I didn't know better, I'd say this is a tremendous kid story. But I'd like to suggest that I think it has ramifications for all of us that really, really can meet us right where we are today. Here's what I think. I think that sitting before me that there are some people here this morning that you need to know that it is lawful to trouble God. In fact, it is really in the heart of God that we would come boldly and come boldly to a throne and trouble him. Do you realize that his throne is a throne of grace? And he wants us to be able to say, Lord, I can't. And he says, I know you can't, but I can, because I am God. Now listen, when I told you that I think there are some, I don't just think, I know. And as the Lord kind of has like with this forward motion has been causing me to bring this message together, I now realize standing before you that I feel like there are some of you that you do not want to apply this message. And I'm going to challenge you that you listen and that you obey the Holy Spirit, what he's going to say to you, because he's telling you that if you will come boldly and soundly without any heart, full of the impossible, believing that it can't happen, that is a God who, if you trouble him and you cry out to him and you pray that he is the God that can hear, he's the God that will answer. Listen to this, 2 Kings 6. I want to begin reading in verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, say Elisha, not Elijah, behold how the place where we dwell is with thee is too straight for us. In other words, it's kind of tight, it's narrow, we need more. Verse 2, let us go, we pray thee to the Jordan, and take thee thence, every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell. Elisha answered, I say Elisha there, he answered and he said, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray. So one of the young prophets said to the major prophet, said to Elisha, be content, I pray thee, and go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. How simple three little words are to the comma, from comma to period, I will go. Sometimes I don't want to go. Sometimes I don't want to enter into a closet of prayer that I know that I'll meet God there. Sometimes I know my faith levels are not high enough, and I realize that my engine and my battery has not been put on the charger, so I don't want to go. But when I read this, it says, and he answered, the prophet did, I will go. And he will, so he went with them. And when he came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But one was falling a beam, cutting a tree, and the axe head fell into the water. You know, this doesn't sound incredibly profound, especially with things that are going on in our country, our nation, things that have gone on in the last 24 hours on the world scene. I mean, this doesn't sound incredibly full. It's like, oh, come on, an axe head falling in the water and the drink. We can go out and wade in 6 inches. We'll find that baby out there. It doesn't tell you how deep it is, but it's obvious that it wasn't the type that they could just walk out and get into. But as one was falling, the beam, the tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and he said, alas, master, master, he's talking to the prophet, for it was borrowed. Now, it's obvious to me this guy didn't like to steal. He didn't like to keep things for himself. It was borrowed. Verse 6, and the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now, is that crazy? Now, you know what? You are not rowdy this morning. What's got into you? Come on. Isn't that not crazy? I mean, that sounds like we ought to be in children's church tomorrow. What kind of a story is this? Children's church stories are pretty profound because they have the power to change the heart of a child that never knew. So I began to think about this. Elisha, he cut a stick, he threw it into the water, and the axe head, it rose and surfaced and began to float. And this is when he said to the prophet, the young prophet, he said, grab it. And the man reached out and he grabbed it. Only because I think this is a really significant part of where I'm going. I think we have a problem to believe that the stick means anything. I think we have a problem to believe that we'll never ever find it down in the muck and the mire. And let alone if it did swim, I would not be able to have enough faith to reach out and grab it. It would be gone. Listen, I want you to have confidence in God. And I don't want you to think I'm preaching down to you. I want you to believe this morning that the things that try us and the things that come against us and the things that sometimes we just shake our head and go, Lord, I was not expecting a fiery trial to be of this nature. I just want to tell you that the God we serve this morning is an awesome God. And I want to tell you that his ultimate purpose as he walked across the Sea of Galilee was not alone to just teach or to help Peter to walk on the water. His ultimate goal was to take and to land inside the bow and be in the same ship with his entire student body of disciples. He wanted to be with them, and oh, how he wants to be with us this morning. I'm convinced of that, don't you? So let me give you some thoughts. I'd like to say conventional thinking in this. If you drop an axe head in the river, this is conventional thinking. Let it go, man. Let it go. Wouldn't you say so? If you're writing down any points, I'd like to tell you to write down number one. Conventional thinking to this sermon is basically, let it go, man. Let it go. Conventional thinking. God is really not going to be able to heal something like that. God is really not going to be able to put the pieces together. They live clear over in New York. Conventional thinking most of the time in our minds say, I can't, I won't, it's not able. I really believe that sometimes we need to have a whole different thought pattern to conventional thinking. How about you? Second thing I'd like to give you is this, is that he had no expectation that the axe head would be retrieved. In other words, he may have wanted mercy and sympathy, but he wasn't really expecting the axe head. I think what he was really saying is, master, prophet, Elisha, I lost it. It flew and flung out into the water. I can't find it. And I think what he was really wanting was sympathy. He was just basically wanting the prophet to go, oh, young prophet, I'm so sorry. Let's all say how sorry we are to him who's lost the axe head. All together now, you say it with me. We're so sorry. Say it again. We're so sorry. I think that's really what he expected. I don't think he had any idea in the density of what that iron was able to do. I don't think he had any idea that God would take and perform a miracle before his eyes. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know where you're positioned in the Bible right here? Now, don't get lost and lose me. But you're positioned between the same prophet who said literally, he said, you go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. I realize you're a great general in the Syrian army. This is just like 2 chapters back. And he says, just go and dip in this Jordan River 7 times and watch what God will do. Conventional wisdom in the mind at that point of Nahum literally was saying, are you off your rocker? You want me, moi, a great king, to dip in the dirty waters of the Jordan? There are rivers in my land of Syria that are beautiful. They run so pristine. And you want me to go and dip in that water? Conventional thinking. It'd be so much fun right now to have a testimony service. And all we're going to do is do this. Tell us conventional thinking of why God can't meet you where you are. Oh, line up on this side, line up on this side, let's go. And we listen to everybody's conventional thinking. Well, Pastor, because I don't think God hears me. Well, Pastor, because it's just way too hard for God. You know what? He's working between Israel and Iran. Well, God, don't you know? I don't have enough time to believe I'm a working man. And we go on and on and on and on. I'm just declaring to you, conventional thinking doesn't get it. Finally, Nahum comes to his mind when his men say to him, boss, all he asked you was to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. That's all. Right. And the Bible says that Nahum, the great Syrian general that had leprosy, went, put his toe in the water and said, 7 times, huh? Man, my wisdom says this is nuts. He walks out. I won't fall on you, guys. And he walks out and he begins to dip himself 7 times. Water comes off. 7 times he dips. Wouldn't you like to have been like some of the commanding officers that was with the general that day? When he came out the last time like this. He turns around and said, well, I did that. That was silly. And they said, boss, Nahum, look at you. His skin is pink again. The leprosy is gone. It's nowhere on his body because of the power of the living God. Conventional wisdom would have said, and it did say, you're nuts. But God said, trust me and see what I will do, saith the Lord. Isn't that true? Amen. Hallelujah. Stay right here. Hallelujah. Conventional wisdom says, I'll lose you. If you go just a chapter or two beyond this that I'm sharing in the Jordan River with the axe head, you come to a young man that is working with Elisha. And you know what's amazing is they go and they fall asleep at night, and the young man is probably like this. He's scared to death because he knows that the Syrian army is after his master. He wakes up early in the morning. Have you read this? It's in Kings. He wakes up early in the morning. Elisha is still sleeping, just enjoying his rest. And the young man looks up, and this is what he does. And all around the camp of he and Elisha are chariots. And they're all around there in the hills. And he's looking at the hills and he can't believe it. And the Syrian army has come in, this entire Syrian regiment, to take Elisha to the king of Syria. And the young man goes and he shakes his prophet and he says, oh, prophet, he says, Elisha, he says, please come with me and look. And Elisha gets out and begins to look and he sees the army of the Syrians all around him. And do you realize what the Bible says? Listen, if I were the young man, conventional wisdom, here's what it would say to me. I need to hide or run for my life. Because it's just about all over. Nothing can save me out of these kind of soldiers, these chariots of iron. Nothing. And I love what Elisha does. What does Elisha do? He goes, You woke me up for this?
That was my King James.
And the Bible says that Elisha says, oh God, this is the truth, read it. Oh God Almighty, open my young prophet's eyes that he truly see 2020. And all of a sudden the young man looks and he sees another army. And this time he sees chariots of fire above the chariots of Syria and the angelic host in these chariots. And all of a sudden he realizes that they're not alone, that the God of heaven has sent a regiment from heaven. And they're totally, totally protected. Reason I'm telling you these things is because we don't see spiritually sometimes. We see so earthly and so naturally. And I'm an earthy guy. I'm a natural guy. Literally, I am. I do. I eat boiled eggs and I eat, you know, salads and I, you know what? I do. I eat stuff that's green. I do. I mean, stuff that has, it's not spoiled. It's still good green. Donna, the other day, well, I'm just going to tell you, you might as well know, because you're starting to get rowdy, but I'm going to tell you the truth. She's taking these carrots, and she's going like this. And she's, is it dicing or slicing or shredding or shredding? Shredding the carrots, and she makes this big bowl of carrots. And she puts, Donna, you put in raisins and tell me everything. No, you don't have to, honey. But it was amazing. And I look at that and I'm thinking, you know what? I mean, come on, tell me honestly. If I go down here to Zips and I say, I'd like to order one of these. Can you see their eyes? I mean, tell me, what is Zips going to say to me? They say, buddy, you get out of here. That's conventional wisdom on your part. Man, it is good stuff. How did I get here? I don't know what guy got here. I just wanted to... Michelle, don't
You're
laugh.
Funny.
Don't laugh. I'm saying to you this morning, please hear me, that between this passage of Scripture, it is sandwiched between God showing that if a man would trust him and believe his word, and that if the eyes of a young prophet would open and believe what he sees, that God has now perfected and protected them, there isn't anything God cannot do. Amen. So go back, please. Go back quickly, because we won't stay here a long time, and believe that. Go back with me to Jordan. And do you see the axe head? Of course you don't, because it's way too deep and murky there. But I want to encourage you to know something, that there is no category for what is about to happen. And here's the reason. Any mineral with a density greater than 1 gram or one per cubic centimeter, it doesn't float. Any mineral with a density greater than 1 gram per cubic centimeter doesn't float. It just doesn't. Say doesn't. But the density of iron is approximately 7.2 grams per centimeter. That's even worse. That's almost like you and I can't lift it out of the water. It's heavy. And God said, let me just have that axe head. I'd like to show the school of the prophets what I can do and who I am. There's only one way to determine the answer to this, and I have to tell you what I think the answer to this really is. I think sometimes we have got to come to this place that we begin to pray ridiculous prayers and have outrageous, absolutely outrageous faith that we stand on. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? I know it sounds silly, and I know maybe not every pastor would say it, but I'm going to tell you, I think what we have to do this morning is, some of us, we have to begin to pray ridiculous, audacious prayers and stand on outrageous faith, because the God we serve, nothing is impossible with Him. Amen. Nothing. Do you believe that? Yes. Elisha had choices. He could have said, you know what? I'll go down and help you to the hardware store and we'll buy a new one. He says, you know what? I've got one in my backyard right there, and it's already, I've got it. I know exactly where it's at. It's stuck in a big, big pile of wood. He says, but I'd like for you to cross your mind on something. And that is that God loves to be troubled. And if you'll trouble God, watch what he'll do. Praise God. You can see the wheels turning in Elisha's mind because he asks them, here's what he asks them. He said, where did it fall? There. He says, bring me that stick right there. And they bring him a stick. I'm assuming that stick was probably about 3 foot long, maybe about that big around. And the Bible says that Elisha threw it in the direction of the iron. The iron that's like 7 times even more than what should be floating, sunk completely to the bottom. How do you think that really ever happened? I don't believe that for the body of Christ, we believe at all in witchcraft. Witchcraft is not something God tolerates, neither does the body of Christ. I don't believe anything in black magic. There's nothing that you and I can just kind of just believe that some kind of a whatever has done this. No. I believe the God that you and I serve is the God that sees it all. And again, he wanted this school of prophets, these young men, to know the day will come, you'll need to call upon me to answer. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
I believe that. And so the Bible says that they took and they cut down the stick and they threw it in the water, and something happened that probably had never, ever happened before. I don't know about you, but I don't think this has ever happened before. I think this was the first time, and it may be the only time. But as the handle and the head came together, the Bible says they swam, and the man took it and picked it up, and God showed the glorious power of his might. I've had fun with you this morning. I've had a good time ministering, sharing with you. But now I want to leave you seriously. I want to tell you that God didn't ask you to come in and spend 2 hours of your life here this morning and go out the way you came. He wants you to know that if you have a head of the axe that has now somehow penetrated the waters and sunk 6, 8, 10, 12 feet down, he wants you to know that whatever your situation is, he is willing to meet you right there. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Do we have a tendency to rank the difficulty of what God can answer? Think about this. Lord, I'm going to rank this sickness in my body. I'm going to give it a 7 that you can answer it. Lord, the relationship that has gone south with my best friend, I'm going to rank that like a 9. It's absolutely out of control. It'll never get back together. I know what she thinks of me. I know how he feels. And so we rank that at this place. And I have a tendency to believe that we rank difficulties, as far as God is concerned, we rank them. And we're not really willing to believe, per our request, that God can take these areas and actually perform miracles and do great things and to turn things around. I think that if we would somehow believe this instead, Lord, everything is easy for you and nothing is too difficult for our God. If we would start thinking that way, we just might be the next person that threw the stick in the water and the axe head did swim. And you'll come next Sunday bringing the axe and the stick with you and saying, you know what, I lost it, Pastor. I lost it chopping wood right next. I was right next to the St. Joe River and I know how deep it is. But it began to swim. And you know what we'll do? We'll all begin to go, whoa. Let's take that section right over there. There's no one sitting right there. And let's just say this is the kooky section. And they get kookier all the time. I know, you laugh at me. But we would say we've got people in our church that are kooky. Man alive, they tell us stuff. There's no way that could happen. I want to take you back and just say, how did leprosy leave a general in 7 dips in the river?
Right.
Now that is crazy. How did a young man get up and see a Syrian army, and within 5 minutes now he sees armies and chariots on fire and the power of Almighty God's army ready to take and intercept and protect the prophet? I have a faith to believe that a kooky section in our church is a good thing. And we need to quit saying everything's too hard, nothing's going to work, it doesn't seem right, and we rate all of these things that are going wrong out of God's touch and hands. When God says, whoa, stop! Let's erase all of them silly things. Now put them in my hands. And watch what I will do. You know what? One of the hardest things for us to ever, ever, ever overcome is what the devil tells us in secret at night when we've crawled into bed and our head is on the pillow and we've got about a 7 to 8 hour sleep ahead, hopefully. And he tells us, you are not blessed. You will not be receiving the power of God. You are not going to see his miracle vision in your life. Your bank account is going to continue to slice and there will be nothing in about 3 days. And he goes on and on and on and on. Whew. That's the time that God needs to send the pastor and deacons to your door at midnight. Now that would be kooky, wouldn't it? I don't know whether I'm having fun or trying to get the message serious to you. But I really pray that you understand this morning that God desires that we trouble him. And we don't run from the devil. We don't run from government. We don't run from all the things around us that seem to be out of control. We run to the God that we can trouble, who loves to hear our voice. And he loves to say, son, is that you? Daughter, is that you? Lord, I was afraid to trouble you. He says, you were afraid to what? Do you not know I know where the axe head is? Right. Trouble me. Get back out there and bring a stick in and I'll throw it out for you. God wants us to trouble him. How many would say amen?
Amen.
I think I'm just about done. Thomas, would you move over to this section, please? Hallelujah. Praise God. So I say this to you. We need to release our conventional thinking, because everybody else thinks the same thing, and nobody else has victory. So release conventional thinking. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And embrace the reality that nothing is impossible with your God.
Amen.
Say it with me this time. And nothing is impossible with my God. You didn't do what I said. And nothing is impossible with my God. Okay, wait. None of you is moving your hands. And nothing is impossible with my God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We serve an awesome God.
Romans 8:28.
Amen. No, you can't go back over. You just be real quiet. Thomas, I'm teasing you. When Sharon said this morning, had it been another moment, another time, and I would have known what I wasn't preaching this morning, I probably would have got up and come up here and said, let's pray. You that need a God, don't come up for a conventional wisdom, what the pastor just says, you just got to get here. No. Come up because you know the God of heaven, and he is your Father. And his Son is at the right hand of arbitration in the throne of grace, and he'll meet you. I would have come up then, but I felt like because I'd have preached, you needed to hear this first. So I'm going to say something. I'm going to ask you to respond to the Lord Jesus. And I'm just going to say, Lord, I'd like to tell you where the axe head is. And watch what he can do for you. And watch that iron begin to swim. Watch that need begin to come to pass with victory. Watch him touch you where you never thought you could be touched. Okay? Because he's a faithful, impossible working God. So I'm not going to have you all stand. I want only you that believe by standing at this altar, you're actually coming and saying, not to the prophet, not to a pastor, but you're saying to Jesus, Lord, this is where I have need. The axe head was there. I need your help because I really need to retrieve it. And watch what God can do for you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you rise if you want to come before the Lord like this? Don't hold back. There's nothing to be afraid or embarrassed of. Just come into his presence. Come into his presence because you know you were already stirred and touched by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit already prepared you to come into his presence. It's kind of like the Jordan River. Can you see it flowing here? Can you see it? Do you recognize the other young prophets? And then all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? I should never have lost this axe head. And I think most of us feel that way. This should never have happened to me. But we say before the Lord, Lord, what's really important is I don't need conventional ideas and wisdom of man. I just need your love. I need your help. I need you to intervene in my life. Hallelujah. Father, these are here. You see their needs this morning. And I'm asking that you meet what I can't do. You meet what no man can do. You're a faithful God. I'm asking also, Lord, that we will not take and put categories on what is easy and what's hard. What we're doing is we're making this our category, that I have a great need, but you're the God that's greater. And that's what we think, and that's how we feel. And we say amen and amen. So therefore, Lord, I'm asking you, as they begin to pray, grant unto them the very desires of their heart. Folks, if you will, if you'd like to lift hands, lift holy hands and surrender. If you'd like to just cry out to God, however, I pray that right now that you believe him. I have one problem I do have is when we come to altars and we don't ever open our mouth. I don't need to hear you and I don't want to really hear you. But it bothers me to think that we don't with our own mouth and heart cry out. So just talk to him. Tell him what you have need of this morning. Hallelujah, because he loves to hear you. Oh, he loves to hear you. Father, I thank you for your people. I'm praying right now that you meet them, Lord. Lord, you hear what they're saying to you. You're hearing how they came into this building and they came knowing, Lord, that an axe head that was very important has been missing. God, you see the needs that are missing. I pray you meet them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. How good is the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe, just maybe, if the Lord says dip seven times in the next day, dip seven times, meaning if the Lord says something to you that seems hard, do it anyway. If the Lord says, open your eyes and see what I've put before you, you might say, I would never believe, Lord, that I could see angels and chariots of fire. But the Lord says, just open your eyes and see what I've put before you is victory. I am giving you victory. Glory to God. Father, these are your people. Meet them right where they are in Jesus' name. Praise God. Can I ask us all as a congregation, could we all stand, please, everyone? Take your hands now and stretch your hands forward. Stretch your hands forward. Can I ask you to at least three times, would you make contact by stretching out and praying for that person, or that person? In other words, when you see and the Lord just speaks, say, yes, I'd like to pray, and pray for that person right now. Pray for this person three times. You know, the school of the prophets, they didn't feel the pain that the young man felt, but I'm asking us all to feel what we all feel, and that God, you meet us right where we are. Let's pray together.